The History of the Leech Lake Reservation with Elaine Fleming. This program is supported by funds from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Bonjour Nandinawe Magani Dug, Beshiku Benesi Akwe Indigo, Mang Indu Dame, Ga Osasqua Jimikag and Dun Jaba, Ga Misqua Wako Kaginda, Elaine Fleming Nindishina Kaz. You know, I was offering my tobacco this morning, Ningi Asemake. And I was asking the grandmothers and the grandfathers to help me to tell these stories. And I began recording a session about an interview that I did with Jim Jones. And Jim Jones is one of our Leech Lake Ojibwe men. And he is currently the Cultural Resources Director for the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. And he was born in 1965. And his story begins in St. Paul. And then he and his family, when he was like about 6 months old, they moved to Chicago, and that's where he was brought up, in Chicago in his younger years. And so he was born during the termination era, and he would return eventually to the Twin Cities as we ventured into the next era of self-determination. And so many things happened during that time. And what I'm doing now is I'm telling that story about how he came to be this cultural resources director. In fact, when I interviewed him on Sunday morning while my 2 and 3 year old grandsons were busily running around and letting us talk, I asked Jim what he was going to do on Monday. And he told me that he was headed for the cities on Monday. And he said that he had two things to do in the cities. And one was that there was a property owner who wanted to buy property in Orono, Minnesota. And there was a burial mound on that property. So this female property owner wanted to know if she could put a wrought iron fence around that burial mound and also what she could plant on the burial mound. So it was a question about landscaping. And then he said he would be going to Wayzata because there was another landscape question. There was another mound on property owner's land, and around the mound there were yellow birch trees that had been planted, and this property owner wanted to pull up those trees, and he wanted to plant another type of tree, an ash tree. And around the mounds, there's like a 20 to 50 foot buffer zone around the mounds in Minnesota. And it's known that all remains are not just buried within a mound, but sometimes they're buried outside of the mounds. So that's why they have that 20 to 50 foot buffer zone. And I asked Jim at that time, I said, well, what do you consider when people ask you about these landscaping questions? And he talked about like root systems of trees, if they were older trees, and how those trees, those roots were in the earth, and how they would disturb remains that might be planted, that might be buried around the mound or even nearer to the mound. and what types of plants that could be planted were of great concern to him. So Jim Jones, I'm going to continue that story of his and also give you some background information about NAGPRA, which is the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. But I was talking about Jim, and Jim, again, he was raised up in Chicago until they moved back to the Twin Cities, and when he was going into junior high. And he ended up coming up to Minnesota with his father, to live with his father for a summer, James Jones Sr. And he went to Catholic high school for just a short while, but then he returned home to Minneapolis to live with his mother. And he talked about how in school that he did well in school, and that he did well in English and he did well in math. And so when he was placed in the Catholic school system, he was placed in an upper pod. And later he would be moved into a lower pod because of his behavior. But when he went back to St. Paul, when he went back to Minneapolis to live with his mother, who was Wanda Antel Jones of Neitawash, that he would go into Indian Upward Bound. And he, at the time, he was going to Phillips High School. And Indian Upward Bound was a program that helped to keep him in school. And we give credit to people who inspire us and encourage us in our lives. And so he talked about at South High School about a lady named Leslie Linegren, who, when he went there to Phillips High School, that she helped him, inspired him to stay in school. He talked about Jeb Bolio, and he said that Jeb Bolio was the one who taught Jim that Jim could do anything. He credited Rick Greshick, who connected Jim to the Ojibwe language. And he also mentioned Margaret Sayers and Paulette Hines. And these were people who were all instrumental in encouraging, inspiring Jim Jones to stay in school. So Jim went to Upward Bound. And some things that he remembered about Indian Upward Bound in the cities was its logo. He said the logo had like a split personality, the image. And on that image, the verbal logo was, quote, "I make it happen," end quote. "I make it happen." And this is something that Jim kept in his heart. And he lives his life in that way. And on that image, he said there was a young warrior, one half of it, who had braids, and the and one half of that side of that person, that image, also was wearing a roach and a beaded choker. The other half of that image of that young warrior was the sunglasses, and he had a graduation cap with a tassel on it. And what this half a person was wearing was a graduation gown. So one of the things that Jim talked about Upward Bound program was incentives. And he said that every 2 weeks that the students would receive a stipend. And he they would get paid for attendance, but they would also get paid for the work that they accomplished. And that was something, so every 2 weeks he could earn up to $12 every 2 weeks that he could spend his money on. And that was something that inspired him. And later on in life too, he would go to the Staples Vocational Program in Cass Lake. And there, too, they had that type of a stipend program that I remember. But that was a little bit about Jim Jones. And he, when he was in school, though, he said that that's when he started artwork. And he started drawing eagle feathers and lances and spears. And this was a time when he was in school when the American Indian Movement had started. And so he was very inspired in that cultural way to make these images. And he never realized that in later in life he'd be actually making these lances and spears and arrowheads himself. He talked about being in 10th grade in metal shop, and that's where he started making arrows. And excuse me. And eventually, he would return to Cass Lake, and he would graduate from the Bagunageshik School in 1983. And so then in my next session, I'll continue with his story, but I will also talk about the Native American Graves Repatriation Act, which Jim is involved in. Chi mi gwech bisan dawi yeg. Mi gwech mi iu. Ya eh ha 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 ha